Chapter 53. Maybe Celeste's most important discovery was a grant from the New Jersey Department of Health called the Community Care Program. This enabled her to reduce cost to her clients by 50%. It also enabled her to double the size of her population. Celeste organized her program based on an overarching belief that engagement was one key to combating dementia. She also added the catalyst of a schedule of changing flexible engagement. The morning began with coffee and chat. Celeste explained the goals to her new assistants. "We want to know how people are doing, but we don't want them to feel examined or interrogated." Judy Campbell looked confused and raised her hand almost timidly. Celeste instinctively understood. Interrogated, I mean like questioned by a doctor or a lawyer. She wished that she could have a clone of Ron's brain that would just deal with these questions and then be absolutely quiet. She could use some simple synonyms right now. "I want it to feel like a natural morning among friends," said Celeste. She had firm footing now. "We want to get everyone involved." Judy smiled. "I'll bet they love to gossip." Celeste was a little uneasy about this. She had found a reserve in her clients at height. They were from a generation that spoke of things in whispers or not at all. Some had been through a real war. She was not sure about gossip, but they were mostly women. Celeste laughed to herself. Ron had infected her brain. Hadn't her mother loved to gossip? Didn't Marjorie? Maybe not her father, but these were mostly women who had set their own boundaries for discussion. After coffee, which I will say should not go longer than 45 minutes, we'll transfer to chair exercises. There may be some need for bathroom breaks during transitions, and surely one long one after exercises. Martha, if you can basically work to assist that. Martha smiled. That was easy. Celeste had gotten the exercises from some contacts she had made among her social workers network. In her effort to make sure of the success of her grant, she cross-referenced each with the health of her patients and the areas that the exercise stimulated. All Martha and Judy needed to know were the exercises. They had no desire to know anything deeper than that. Lunch involved arrangements that she made with Height Catering. She worked on an affordable and healthy meal for their menu. Because Celeste had enough clients now, she was a daily customer, and they had become punctual. Celeste had also learned that punctual was a key. Judy was in charge of distributing Keats on the days that he came with Celeste. The clients loved and sometimes did not want to share him with the others. Keats spent these days of puppyhood doing antics that delighted and surprised his circle of people. Then he was passed from one adoring lap to another. He was almost 6 months now, and if he did not want to be in a lap, he would surely make that known. But his appetite for affection mostly calmed everyone. During group activities, Keats wandered into Celeste's office, where she was almost always on the phone or on her computer. Duane said, "Jack Spong is retiring. He's going to teach at Harvard." "I don't think I can do this much longer either, Celeste. I feel like I am acting when I comfort people with expressions about faith in God." Celeste said, "Do you still believe in God?" "I don't know for certain, but I do know that I see him in a different way. I can't express those changes to people and be their priest. The two are in conflict." "How are things going with the ladies?" said Celeste. "Are they still stuffing you with enough food for five?" "The food has calmed down, but it's other things now," said Duane. There was a nervousness in his voice that Celeste hadn't detected until recently. "Things have gotten much more personal," said Duane.